Welcome to the Santam Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And me, Mapalomaku. To give our listeners a bit of a background, we have been working with Santam staff members where we take them through a money bootcamp.
And last year, after seeing the amazing changes these individuals went through, we realized that there was an opportunity to take this money journey to a broader audience. So thank you very much to Santam for sponsoring this podcast.
There's never a point where I took a 50,000 rand personal loan. It was a 10,000 here, 10,000 there, and then an emergency comes, 10,000. It builds up, right? As I'm close to paying it off, then all of a sudden they say, oh, you qualify for 70,000. And I'm like, I would really like to just take a flight to Joburg. And it's quite easy to access the fund. But then you forget that every month going forward, that means you are left with less or to your limit, actually, to make ends meet.
In the last few episodes, we have focused on budgeting and making sure you live within your means. But there are times when you need to borrow money. But the way in which you borrow money and what you borrow the money for is the difference between financial hell and financial well-being, Maya.
Absolutely. There's no faster way than to destroy your life than getting into the wrong type of credit. But of course, we all from time to time borrow money for things that we really need. So I think it's a really important conversation we're having today to unpack the difference between those. And I think you heard that clip earlier in the big intro of this, and that was Tato, one of our mentees from last year. And she just described for me, I think, how so many people get into this, into debt, into sort of consumer debt. It just happens. And you're not actually quite sure how you ended there. You know, like, how did this happen? I didn't start off with that credit. It just sort of grew, you know, bit by bit by bit. But Tato told me something very interesting. She had this sort of strange relationship with credit and saving. So she was living at home and earning more than she needed. She had the surplus, you know, as one does when you're still living at home. And she had this disposable income. And then the banks would offer her loans. They'd phone. They'd say, guess what? You qualify for this loan. And she thinks, oh, well, I have this extra cash in my budget. So let me take the loan. Rather than thinking, I have this extra cash, let me save towards what I want. And I think that's a trap many, many people fall into.
No, absolutely, Maya. And the thing is, you know, people don't find themselves just getting this one massive loan and now they're in financial ruins. It often starts very small. Oh no, I took a credit card here. I took a personal loan there. Oh yeah, then, you know, those store accounts as well. Oh, you know, I just want to get clothes, but you know, I'll be able to pay it off. But what we don't input is the fact that sometimes our responsibilities grow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, so there's two sides. First of all, your responsibilities grow. So suddenly you've got to pay back this monthly amount. And, you know, and I think in Tata's case, she had a child and suddenly her goals changed. And I think we spoke, you know, we've spoken about buying a car or those big ticket items that can lock you in for sort of 6 years or something like that. So you need to have to realize that, you know, life is going to change at some point. But I think also there is this sort of sense of the fact that you get inundated with all of these offers, these very attractive offers just to have it now. And it is very, very tempting.
No, absolutely, Maya. And, you know, I've realized when some people come to me, right, they will say, I had just finished my university degree and I was starting to work and all these companies came to me and said, oh, you qualify, you are a graduate now, you know, and for someone who perhaps had never had credit before, now all of a sudden they're saying, oh no, here's a credit card, we'll help you build your credit score, right? That's one of the things that they say, we'll help you build your credit score. And people think, oh, so it means I have this money. No, it's actually not your money.
No, it's the amount that you have to end up paying back for that money. And that is exactly it with Tata. It was like, well, instead of saying, I've got this 5,000 rand disposable income, let me borrow money and repay 5,000. She's like, now, of course, her mindset is totally different. She's saying, I've got this 5,000, I can save and invest it and the growth that I can get on that. But what I don't think people realize is actually that total cost of debt.
Yes.
What that, you know, what you're paying back in interest, you pay such a small amount in capital and most of it is interest.
Yeah.
And I think this is important to understand when you're taking on the credit.
No, absolutely.
And how do we decide between good and bad credit? Like, how do we define that?
Sure. Okay. For me, my own definition would be, is it something that's going to put money in my pocket? Or is it something that's going to appreciate, for example, a house? But I mean, also, you know, that's a conversation for another day, right? For me also, I would go even to the length of saying, when I needed a car, because my first job, I definitely needed a car. So for me, it wasn't a bad debt getting a car. I needed to get from point A to B, but it was, am I going to get from point A to B with a Chevy, or am I going to get from point A to B with a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW, you know, something that was within my affordability? Then something that I would consider bad debt is getting onto a plane, coming to Cape Town from Johannesburg and using my credit card, funding a lifestyle that I haven't saved for.
Maybe it's wants, when you fund wants with, I suppose needs, are, you don't want to put in groceries on your credit card either. But yeah, especially, I think most people fall into the wants. So it's, and I mean, I remember there was a big billboard on the way to the airport. I won't mention which credit provider it was. And it said, oh, thinking about going to Greece, we've got the loan for you. Yeah, right.
They put that on a billboard.
On the way to the airport. Yeah.
Oh, my
word. Now, I mean, how? I mean, of course they do. And I think just guys, I want you to understand something when you're listening to this. Banks, that's their product, right? They sell credit.
Yes.
Don't think they're giving you credit because they love you.
No.
They don't love
you. You're not their favorite. They don't think, oh, my gosh, you're so brilliant. You deserve this. It's a product that they sell.
It's a product they sell. And the number one product that makes banks the most money are credit cards.
Credit cards.
So most people don't pay off their credit cards in full every month. Only 85% of people do not pay their credit cards off in full every month. And it is literally an annuity income for the banks. And it's wonderful annuity income for them. I mean, just to give you an example, if you had 20,000 Rand on your credit card and you only paid the minimum installment, just the minimum, do you know that would take you 25 years to pay it off?
You are kidding me.
No.
How is that possible?
Because the interest rate, first of all, the interest rate is what you're paying. So when they take a minimum amount, they say usually it's about 3% of the outstanding balance. That's the minimum, right? So if you owe 20,000 Rand, they'll give you like 600 Rand. Okay, they'll say you just have to pay us 600 Rand a month. You're paying interest if you're paying 3%, you're paying back 30% a year, but your interest rate is sitting at 25%. So you're hardly ever really paying off the capital. But then it is an outstanding amount on your reducing balance. So now you've managed to pay off till 10,000 Rand. Now your minimum installment drops to 300 Rand. So you never actually...
So they're not going to keep it at the 600 Rand so that you pay it off quicker.
Exactly.
So you have to call them and say, you have to keep this debit order at X amount?
Or? No, you must say. So what I said to my bank is, I said, I want to pay my credit card in full at the end of every month. And that's the debit order that goes off. So the debit order goes off in full at...
But Maya, that's because you don't have a 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 rand balance on your credit card.
That would be quite a lot to go off at every month, yes.
Exactly. But that's the thing that a lot of people face. So let's say you can't afford to put in 1,000. Should you be calling your bank to say, just let 1,000 go, not that measly 300 bucks?
Yeah, absolutely. You can set the debit order. You can tell them how much, as long as it's above the minimum, obviously.
Yes.
You can instruct them and say, I want this to be going off every month. So it is really, really important. But what I find, and I've seen this so often with people with credit cards, is that they end up not realizing how much they're spending because they say, oh, I can afford to pay back 1,000 Rand a month. And they just keep paying 1,000, 1,000, 1,000, but they're spending 4,000, 5,000 every month. So this credit card bill just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And I think another really important thing to understand with credit cards is this interest-free period. And I'm putting it in, no one can see, I'm doing an inverted commas. Oh, you get 56 days interest-free. Yes and no. There's a billing cycle. So say, for example, your billing cycle is the first of the month to the 30th of the month, right? And then, but you only have to pay it on the, I'm trying to do my maths in the head here, on the middle of the following month on the 15th. Yes. So from the first right through to the 15th of the following month, effectively it's interest-free. That's for the item that you purchased on the first of the month, not the item you purchased on the 30th of the month. So if you buy it on the 30th of the month, you've only got effectively 15 days interest-free. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense.
So when they talk about 56 days interest-free, it's from the, Oh, it's only for the item you buy on the first day of that billing cycle.
Maya.
Then, if you do not pay it in full at the end of the month or on billing, you know, when you have to pay it, you charge interest right back to the day that you purchased it. So you lose all of your interest-free period if you do not pay it off in full
that
at the end of the month.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really fascinates me, Maya, about personal finance is that the intricate small details can make such a big difference. And
absolutely.
This, for me, is one of those things that everyone goes around saying, oh, no, you have 55, 56-day interest-free, but they don't really explain it the way you just have.
No, I mean, I've just actually had a press release from a bank motivating this 56. I'm like, and I mean, you know, it is, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors that goes on out there. And I think we should just fundamentally live by the principle. And you know how many people phone me and email me, well, what if I do this and I do that? There's one simple rule. Don't borrow money that you don't need for luxuries and that. But also, if you're going to use a credit card, pay it off in full at the end of the month and stop being, you know, stop trying to be clever. Just pay it. I mean, the stories that I've seen on TikTok with if you buy here and then you get there and you extend this and just, it's simple, guys, you know, pay
it
off.
And also, I think personal finance, simplicity still wins the race.
Absolutely.
You know, there are so many of those things. Oh, no, if you pay, just for example, with the house, we did a podcast on the house. Some people say, no, if you pay it on this day, or just pay extra. If you've got the money, do it.
This thing about splitting it into two.
Oh, man.
It's a big TikTok thing at the moment, clearly, because I'm getting so many questions about it. Guys, I've worked it out. I think you save like R3 a day for those 10 days or something like that. It's not that big a deal. And people say, yes, over 20 years, it makes a difference. Yes, it does make a difference. But what makes a much bigger difference is putting in an extra R100.
Yeah.
That makes
all the difference.
All the difference. Then splitting your payment, being clever there. Go into your budget. Have a look. Are there a few little items that I could live without that helps me pay off my bond quicker?
Yeah.
It's actually that stuff.
It's actually that.
But I want to get to, you know, we talked about good and bad debt and you know, yeah, your credit card, if you're using credit card to make ends meet, bad, right? Store cards, bad debt. Consumption debt. Mm. If you are perhaps buying a house, that's, you know, could be good debt, it's an appreciating asset. A car, you may need it to get to work. How much do you spend on it? Student loan, you know, you giving an education. But I had a very interesting question from a young graduate, and I wanted to unpack this because I still think that there is a place for responsible borrowing. And she had just started work, and she had to leave home to start this job. Where she lived with her parents was too far, so she was getting her apartment for the for the first time, and she didn't have parents who could help her with the deposit and that. And she said, "Should I borrow money for the deposit?" And you know, I talked her through it, and I actually wrote an article about this because I think it's very important. Yes, there is a place for that kind of debt, but of course, it started off with, what can you afford? So do the budget with, which we've spoken about in the first few episodes, you're moving into this rental property. Have you done a proper budget? How much is it going to cost you to live there? What is your groceries, your transport? And then what disposable income do you have left that you could service a loan for? So that's really an important thing to start. Can you actually afford this place? And then I did go and have a look, and I said, you know, one of the things people say, let me take a short-term loan. But if you borrow anything under 6 months, the banks can charge you 5% a month interest rates.
5% a month?
Yes. That National Credit Act allows a short-term loan, which is defined as less than 6 months, at 5% a month. So you think, you see an advert for a three-month loan. You're paying a fortune for it. So I actually had a look and I said, what if she wanted to borrow 10,000 rand? Over 3 months at 5%, she would have, and there were initiation fees, 1,200 rand. There's a monthly service fee. Her monthly installment would be 4,100. She was going to spend 12,540 rand paying back that three-month loan. If she went for a six-month loan, and even then I maxed the interest rate as high as possible, which is allowed at 29% now, even then she would, over 6 months, her installment would drop to 2,000 rand a month, but her total cost would be 12,500. So you do see the importance of reading the documents and saying, one is 3 months, so I think I'll pay it off quicker, but I'll actually pay back the same amount in total as I would over 6 months. And the 6 month loan will only cost me 2,100 rand a month, will give me more leeway. So for me, it's really important to read those contracts and do a proper comparison. And then I looked at a 12 month loan. I thought, well, maybe for her, even 2,100 is too much to pay back. Maybe she can only afford 1,100. A 12 month loan, she'll be able to pay back 1,100 a month, but her total cost will be higher because she's extended it longer. So she'll be looking at about 14,000 to pay it back. That's how you analyze a loan. You look at what are my monthly installments, but don't stop there. Say, what does it cost me in total over the whole period? And I think those are some of the ways. And for me, a young graduate like her needs that short-term, you know, loan to make up, you know, for that deposit. Not a problem. Not a problem. Can I afford it? Have I done my budget? Yes. Have I looked at my different options in terms of borrowing and what is the best one for me? And I think that is how you can approach debt. The worst thing she could do is put things on her credit card where you never have that end. I like term loans, like a personal loan. I know I'm getting it. I know this is the date it'll be paid off and I can budget for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Maya. And I think for me, it's the realization that when it comes to banks, they play on two things, time and the interest rate, right? So the longer it is, the more they will get in terms of, you know, charging. Maybe if it's a lower interest rate, but there's more time, they are still going to make their money. But I like that you have put it out that you can make sound financial decisions based on comparison. Don't just go emotionally into something and out of desperation. Do your spreadsheet and say, actually, what will it cost me in the long run? But I think it's very sound advice, Maya, because, you know, most of the time it seems like people vilify debt, right? And in this instance where actually she doesn't have any other options, that for her is something that she can do. I absolutely love that. And I think, you know, if you are in this type of situation yourself, just do your maths. Just do your maths and see how much interest rate, how long will it take you to pay off this. But also think that, you know what, once you start moving into your new apartment, you might need a couch, you might need a fridge, that sort of thing. And just be patient with yourself as well.
Okay, so that's a really good one to raise because now you're moving in and you can go and buy all of that on credit, all of it.
Yeah.
So you can go and buy a couch and the dishwasher and everything you want today on your pay slip, right?
Yeah.
Immediately. But that is literally going to cost you double. I have done the comparison. So if you pay off your couch over 24 months, by the time you've done all the fees and the credit insurance and all of that, you are paying double. So if that couch cost you 20,000, it's now costing you 40,000. You know, start to think a little bit about this stuff, saying, you know what, if it's going to cost me, if my repayment was going to be 4,000 rand a month on this loan, and I just wait 5 months, I can have the 20,000. Yes. Do you know what I mean? That think about that stuff and just have patience. That is so critical. Absolutely critical.
Maya, my first apartment I was sharing with a friend and we had bin bags. Because they were cheapest version of furniture that we could have. What we did do was put some money together to buy a fridge, of course, like things that you know that are solid. A fridge, we didn't have a TV, we had bin bags, but we built up to start buying some of the other stuff that we would need around the apartment. And I mean, that's the thing for me. There's beauty in being patient with yourself, with your finances, especially when you're starting out in life. For me, I feel like those are the good stories that I have as well, Maya.
You know, I was listening to a podcast by Morgan Housel. You know, he wrote Psychology of Money, my favorite book of all time. And he said that the more money you have or the more money you're able to spend, your joy starts to diminish. So in other words, the more you struggle to have that item, if you you think back to we had to really save for that couch.
Yeah.
That buying of that couch actually brought you much more joy than if you could have just bought it like that, at a drop of a hat. Yeah. So the richer you get, the less joy you get from possessions and buying things, which I found fascinating.
That is incredible.
So if you are struggling and listening to this and feeling sorry for yourself, think about it this way. Every time you buy something that you've saved and worked for, you will have a greater joy than if you didn't have to work and save for it. Maybe that's something.
That's the message, I guess.
But I want to also talk a little bit about this thing where banks say, oh, take a credit card to build your credit record.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to borrowing responsibly, your credit record is actually really, really important. So how do we go about building a credit record without blowing out on debt?
Yeah. I think for me, how I would love to answer that question, Maya, is how not to build your credit score. Okay, because sometimes I feel like saying stuff like that, people memorize it much more. How not to go about building your credit score is mixing out on everything.
Mm.
You literally can build your credit score with just minimum amounts. So what often happens is when people are starting to build their credit score, let's say you're a graduate or you're someone who's been working for a while and you're saying, you know what, I want to build my credit score so that I can prepare to buy a house or a car. And we spoke about this in the previous episodes. They go and you know that, okay, I want to access maybe 5,000 rent worth of credit card, you know, the balance I want to have on my credit card. But you're sitting in front of the consultant. They're saying, oh my gosh, you are a graduate, honors degree, 4 years, economist. You know, they read to you all of these things that are fantastic. And they say, oh no, but you actually qualify for X amount. You can actually say no.
Yeah,
that's the fascinating thing for me. People always just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm in front of this authority and I can't say no. You absolutely should and you can say no and say, you know what? I just want to build my credit score the safest way and the most responsible way possible. All I want is 5,000 rent on that credit card. Then you use it the very same way we spoke about earlier, that you spend a little bit on it, but you always make sure that you pay it on time every single month. Don't wait for the 55 days because as we just heard, it actually, there's more detail to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think doing it responsibly, knowing exactly how you're going to do it, knowing that, you know what, all I want is 5,000 rent. And you can build your credit score based on that, because a credit score is effectively, institutions wanting to see how you have used credit or dealt with credit in the past, that you're just consistent, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, somebody was telling me the story. They said, if you want to borrow money and you say you go and borrow money, you borrow money from this guy and five different people, and then you start not paying them back. And now you want to borrow money from another friend, but he's heard that you haven't paid all your other friends back. Yeah. Is he going to lend you money?
Oh, no.
No. So that's what your credit score is. Yes. Like, do you pay back your debts? But also on your credit score, your insurance premiums. Mm. So there are other things and other ways that you can build, that shows that you pay your cell phone contract. Would be on there. So there are other ways for you to kind of show that you are a regular payer. And what I also find from the banks is that they will also look at your banking behavior. So they don't only look at your credit score with the bureau. They will say, what is your banking behavior? Do you ever bounce your debit orders? Are you permanently in overdraft? Mm. How do you actually manage your money? So I think in managing your money, even possibly having debit orders going into a savings account, those things can make you look more attractive from a credit perspective. So I think those are ways that you can improve your credit score without going into debt. And I do see a lot of people who I've spoken to a lot of young people who said, I took the credit card to build my credit record and now I've destroyed my credit record. Yeah. So, that's the problem, is that you can actually be, it can really work against you if that's what you think that you're doing.
No, absolutely. I'll give an example, Maya. One of the coaching sessions that I had, this lady, very, very prudent, extremely prudent, paying her bills on time. She had this credit card that she hardly ever used. She would probably pay for flights from there, but pay it back immediately. She would always have some cash in there. Then she went and met some of her friends in Joburg. She lived in the Eastern Cape. And when she got there, she said, I felt out. I felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb, that everyone looked fabulous. It was Johannesburg. And she says, something in me said, go buy something expensive so that you can show them that you're part of this group. For the first time ever, I don't even have a Louis Vuitton bag, Maya, but I'm not obsessed with labels like that. She went and bought herself like a little wallet. And I said, because I was looking through her statements, I said, what happened here? And you see how debt also and money and emotions tie in.
Mm.
So for me, I think it's also very important to take a look at your state when you're making purchases or accessing credit. And the thing is, it was sitting there all along. She didn't use it. So for me, one of the things I said to her, make sure that you don't have that big of a limit.
Yes, because if it's there, you could land up using it. That is very true. And I mean, you can. So I do see people saying, well, I've got a 20,000 rand limit, but I never use it. I only use. But you could get caught up in some emotional state.
Yeah.
They call it the hot state, when you get really emotional and you make decisions in the moment, and that can if you don't have access to that money, you can't do anything in the hot state, right? So you've almost got to protect yourself a little bit from these things and not have the lines of credit. Actually, I mean, that's probably the easiest way. How do I not get into debt? Just don't have the lines of credit.
Just like I don't.
And I wanted to also, you know, we spoke about buying a car as a big ticket item in our, one of our budgeting episodes. But this is also something that I think we should really – I come across this, you know, I did Money Makeover, and, you know, you and I both engage a lot with many people. And car finance is often the really big thing that's sitting in their, you know, in their budget that they're struggling with. So many people, and they cannot exit that car financing, because what people don't realize is that, you know, as you drive the car out, it depreciates, but you've got this debt. So it takes you, if you finance your car over 6 years, for the first four years, you owe more on it than you could sell it for. So you cannot even exit that contract, in a sense. You can't sell the car and settle it for the first 4 years. You are tying yourself into an incredibly, you know, it's a very limiting contract if you start facing some sort of financial difficulty.
Maya, do I have a horror story for you? Okay, when it comes to buying a car. So also in a coaching session, this lady says, you know, I was comfortable paying for my little startup car. And then the partner came along and said, well, you know, I'm a person who has this position and my girlfriend, I do not want them to be seen driving a smaller car. So what I'm going to do, because I love you, I am going to give you an extra 4,000 rand a month. Go get the car that I want you to get, that is way comfortable, that when people lay eyes on you, they will know that you're my girlfriend, right?
Mm.
She goes and does this. She says, you know what? I was a bit hesitant, but I said, you know, we are talking about marriage, that sort of thing. So it should be fine. 2 years later, the relationship ends. And to your point, what you just said, it takes 4 years. She tried to trade it in. And it was owing so much. What she would have to put in plus the balloon payment on that. Do you know how much that car right now, and she downgraded, but now it was still loaded. Do you know how much she owes towards that car? 573,000 rand. And I'm not even talking, she gave the BMW away, but because it still had so much shortfall and balloon payment towards that, now she's sitting with a smaller car. But it's unaffordable. Yes.
She's paying off this other car.
Yes.
That is such a brilliant warning. Do not, if somebody offers to help pay you for your car, you know, don't do it. But you talked about the balloon payment.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Where do we start?
I do have to tell you that I did this show on ENCA called Money Matters. And whenever we did car finance episodes, we'd always try and do them at a dealership, and then the dealership started to listen to them, and we were banned from them. We couldn't get into cars, so then whenever we did a car episode, we had to find a parking lot, because what happens is you walk into a dealership with a budget in mind, right? I can spend 5,000 rand a month or whatever, and you fall in love with the car, but it's more expensive, right? And they say, don't worry, you can afford the more expensive car. We'll just make it a balloon payment. And a balloon payment or residual means that they take 30% of the cost of that car and they lump it off at the end. So you're not making those monthly repayments on it. You're just going to have this really big lump sum at the end to pay off. And what they also don't explain to you is that you're still paying interest on that lump sum. And that interest is included in your monthly repayments. So your monthly repayment includes the interest that is accruing on that lump sum. So you land up paying significantly more interest because of that balloon payment. And you get to the end of your six years. And so you've paid off this car, you've been sweating off paying off this car for 6 years, and suddenly you have maybe 100,000 to 150,000 sitting at the end that you still need to find money for. And do you know, something like 70% of people have to refinance for that. Mm. They haven't saved for it. They haven't got a little kitty put aside and saying, well, one day I'm going to pay off my balloon payment.
And you know what, Maya, what I get all the time? People say, no, but I'm going to save. you know, I have 5 years, I have 6 years to save for this thing. So I know that I will have a lump sum right at the end of, you know, my contract. And what often happens, what I've seen, life happens. And people don't save towards that balloon payment. Then at the end of the day, what do you do? Refinance. But also, Maya, I hate the words like refinance because people actually don't understand what it means. It means that you're going to take out more debt.
More debt. Another loan.
Another loan.
So you will actually, many people spend 10 years paying off their car by the time they're finished. 10 years. And just, I want, what we're going to ask for next episode, and this is going to open people's eyes, is for the next episode, we're going to be focusing on paying off debt, how to pay off debt. And as part of the resources, which you can find the link in the descriptor here, I want you to complete, there's a spreadsheet which has all your credit agreements. You're going to fill in the service fees, the credit insurance, to understand actually what this debt is costing you. And when you do that and you understand what that car is actually cost you over that period of time, but not only that, there was something wonderful one of my mentees said when I was talking to her. She said, Maya, when all my debt is paid off, I'm going to be so rich. Ooh. Go look at how much you're spending on debt and imagine if that was disposable income in your pocket. And that's what you've also got to realize. So the longer you commit yourself, now obviously you've spoken about personal loans and that, try and avoid those, pay those off. But I mean, car finance, people have to take it. But the bigger that car finance, the bigger it is taking up a huge part of your disposable income every month. And the longer that you finance it for, you know, you're in that for a longer period of time. So it's really, I know it's hard when you see the car that you've just fallen in love with and now the dealer tells you there's this magic thing that he can wave, a balloon that he can give you, and you don't really ask too many questions. And please, when you, we bought my son a little runaround car, and it was a secondhand and all that. There's the number they tell you on the car window, and then they give you the quote. And the quote has got these on the road fees and and that fee. 10 grand later, I said no.
There's no way.
I just said no, and they said okay. And that's what people don't realize. Just say no. Say I'm not paying all those fees. Are you mad? Those are not. They want like on the road fees. That's to go and get your license disc or whatever. And I think in the end we said to him, we'll pay you 1,000 rand to do that. I mean, we just said no. Negotiate. But you're in a hot state, that's, you see. Important. You've fallen in love with the car and they put a big ribbon on it and there's
and bubbly. You're paying for it. Please.
You're all excited.
You're paying for the ribbon. You're paying for the champagne. It's all costed in the entire thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, Mapla, what you and I are really saying is that there's nothing wrong with borrowing money.
Yeah.
As long as it's got a plan and as long as it's going to improve your life in some way and that you know you can afford it and afford it, and people say, oh, but I can afford this. But can you afford it in 2-3 years' time? Mm. What is life going to bring you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm. And I love the fact that, you know, we didn't vilify it, but also saying to people, just be wise around it. Always go back to, what is my plan? What do I want my money to do for me? What do my life look like in the next 5-10 years? And all the decisions are based on what it is that we do today.
Today. What a brilliant note to end on. And in the next episode, we're going to tackle, because I think so many people are struggling with debt. Yeah. We're going to tackle about how to pay off debt. We're going to share some of the amazing stories of mentees that we've worked with and how quickly their debt comes down when they take control. But I do want you guys to go and fill in that credit agreement sheet that is on the in the link below in the descriptor. And I want you to share your insights with us. So drop us a voice note via WhatsApp on 062-174-0145.
Cheers for now.